by Deacon Christopher Bazemore.
Good afternoon, church. Let us pray. Thank you so very, very much for all who are here, gathering here with us this Wednesday night prayer meeting. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being so good to us, O Lord. Thank you for allowing us to have another chance to worship and praise your holy and divine name. Thank you for waking up this morning in our right state of mind, wanting to honor you and glorify your holy and divine name. Now, Father, we enter into this worship service, Father God. I pray, Father God, you will help us to just recognize that we all have room for growth, Father God, and improvement that's needed in our lives. Please, 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 Lord God, forgive us for all our sins, oh Lord Jesus, and help us to just receive your wonderful forgiveness. Because we are grateful because of the fact that you gave us strength and allowing us to have an opportunity to be in your presence, oh Lord God. Renew in us a good heart, oh Father God, a loving heart, because of the fact that you know that we need you right now in a mighty, mighty way, oh Father. Have your way in this service right now, Father God. Touch each and every person that's seeking to hear a word from you, oh Father God, because you are our God, and we need you right now, oh Father. So please, 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 Jesus, have mercy on us right now, oh Lord, because Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And I pray, Father God, that through you, we can have a newness in life, oh Father, because of the fact that all the things you have done for us, we are so grateful and happy and proud. So we give ourselves to you right now, Father God. Please allow us just to have a new mindset, oh Lord, so we can just focus and praise your holy and divine name. Give us an opportunity just to be able to have our souls and our hearts and our minds open to you, because you are a great God. Bless us all in a mighty, mighty way. Pray that you will give hope to the people who need hope, of Father God. Pray for us that you will send blessings of healing to people that are sick right now. A blessing of healing to my brother right now. I pray, Father God, you will deliver him as only you can do, oh Father. And send comfort to family who have lost loved ones, oh Father God. Because we need your protection right now more than ever before. Be with us. Bless us. Help us to know that you are with us, oh Father God. Help us have the faith that we need to overcome anything that stands in the way of us having a close relationship with you, because you are our provider, you are our redeemer, you are our savior, and you are our friend. Thank you, Father God, for being so good to us, oh Lord, because you know all what we need. And I pray, Father God, you would just send a special blessing to our pastor for all he has done in kingdom building, Father God. I pray you would send bless to him and his family. Give them all what they stand in need of, Father God. And bless over our young people. Put a hedge of protection around them, Father God, so that we can be good examples to them, oh Lord. And I pray, Father God, you would just have your way in this service right now. And may our life be living testimonies of your love and your passion and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
We will now have a scripture reading by Associate Deacon Kenneth Brooks, Sr.
Good evening, First Church. I'll be reading Romans 12, verses 9 through 18, the New International Version. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his word.
You will now have approximately 2 minutes to go to the Lord in prayer. We will now have a prayer by Deacon Cecil Dryden.
Let us all look to the hills where our help comes from. It's coming from the Lord. It's a blessed day and it's a good day. You know, he woke us up this morning, gave us another opportunity to praise him and honor him. He let us know that, you know, I'm going to keep on keeping us in his wings and stable, and know that continue to pray and honor him and give him all the honor and the glory. Father, because this world is, we need you, Father. We need you so much. You know, need more love in this world, more caring. People got to learn to love yourself first so you can love someone else. You know, and it's deep. But that's all right. God got you. He got us all. Every day there's new mercies. And new mercies I see. Every day. I thank him so much for what he's doing in our lives and our family's lives and the people on the line's lives, and friends and members and officers and just everybody, Lord Jesus. And continue just to give us honor and the glory and just continue to give us the opportunity to get better. It's just a one day at a time situation. And Father, we got to continue to know that without you, we do not stand a chance. With you, we do all things through you strengthen us. And I know you're strengthening us every day by what we go through. Because when you come out the other side of the blessing, it just let me know you're still here on the throne. I'm going to always thank my pastor, Frank D. Tucker, and the First Baptist Church family and his family and just this world and just help with these, take these guns out of these young people's hands and make sure they learn to love each other instead of violence. Everything is about violence, and we're going to stop that because I'm praying to you for that, Lord Jesus. We need love. We need to continue to honor you and give you all the glory because we know for a fact you're watching over us. And heal whoever's sick and needs you or whatever it is, let them touch the hem of your garment, dear Lord, and let them know you're there. You know, for any situation, you're always there. And you're going to be there for everything because this COVID will be leaving. And I just know. Because, Father, I just give all the honor to you and continue to have faith and trust and believe and know that the sacrifices that are being made and it's going to get better. And I want to thank you, Lord, for loving my family, loving everyone. Continue to lead us and guide us. Let us all be humble servants of yours, Father. And continue to love. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, I will pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
We will now have a musical selection followed by our inspirational speaker for tonight, Sister Denise Rills Hunter, First Lady of Abba House, Dallas, Texas. Sister Hunter is a Bible teacher and speaker whose passion and desire is for women to be healed, delivered, and set free from the oppression of the enemy. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. After surrendering her life to the Lord and trusting Him for salvation, Sister Hunter sensed the call of God on her life. In 1999, she answered the call to the Ministry of Women and helped develop a thriving women's ministry at her church. Sister Hunter has continued serving in women's ministry since 1999, leading women through mentoring, discipling, and most importantly, teaching the Word of God. When she is not ministering, writing, or studying, she loves to spend time with her husband, Pastor Don Hunter, and their sons. They reside in Plano, Texas.
He'll cover you with everything you need. you got it bad right now. Let me say I know that feeling well. To make your plans for life and then watch them take a don't say.
Well, good evening, First Baptist. I'm so excited to be joining you all today. I'm also excited to be asked to share this encouraging message. I pray that it blesses you. I pray that it challenges you. And I pray that it comforts you as only our Lord can do. And so with that, we'll get started. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Father God, we take a moment to just thank you for all that you have done for us and continue to do. We pray now that you speak through your word. Let it bless the hearer. Let it comfort the discouraged, and let it challenge the comfortable. Open up our ears, open up our hearts, as it is only your word that can do it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So again, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the invite, and thank you for giving me your time. So last year, I turned 50. Whew. I don't think I really said that out loud ever, but it is a reality. Every year on my birthday, it's the same conflict. I'm facing the fact that I am getting older, but on the other hand, I'm thankful to still be alive. See, my twin sister died when we were 29. And so ever since then, I made a decision to celebrate every day and especially every year on my birthday. I get to see that. And so that's a celebration. But at the same time, a little part of me faces the fact that I am getting older and going to the other side, if you know what I mean. I know that I should be glad to be here, but the struggle is constant. You know, one minute I'm elated to see another birthday. And then on the other minute, I start planning my retirement and my funeral. I know it sounds morbid, but don't cry for me, because many of you do it as well. It's like a dual personality we have. One minute here, next minute over there with our thoughts. It's like we live in an everlasting conjunction in life. And even the Apostle Paul experienced this very thing during his ministries. And he shared that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And I will just read that, and then we'll kind of just walk through and see how this very phenomenon has affected Apostle Paul. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 8 through 10. And it says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." Now, this verse took me back to elementary school when we learned about conjunctions. And I know many of you know this, but I'm going to just say it anyway. A conjunction is a word used to connect clauses or sentences, or it's a word to coordinate words in the same clause. A conjunction is also the action or instance of two or more events or things occurring at the same time at the same point in space. Again, that dual personality, those dual thoughts. One minute you're thinking of this, and then the next minute, oh, but this. And so some of those phrases of conjunctions are and, but, and if. And so if you're thinking of one thing that might be a good thing, like me turning 50, oh my goodness, I'm here to see 50, but I'm getting closer to heaven, if you will. And so you'll have this dual thought, these conjunctions in our life that sometimes rob us of our joy. And so Paul kind of talks about this in 2 Corinthians, but he doesn't stop on the left side. He doesn't stop on the negative side. He starts out with, "We are hard pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair." And so because we're followers of Christ, we're all going to suffer. We're all going to suffer for righteousness' sake, for the cause of Christ. And so Paul and the other apostles, they were sufferers too. They were abandoned by so-called friends. They were persecuted by their enemies, but they knew God never left them, nor did God forsake them. And so when we look at this text, you know, we can look at the hard things that are going on, the difficulties going on in Paul's journey, but then also apply that to our journey, the hard things that are going on, the difficult things that are going on. But God didn't leave it there. He added a but. Okay? And so walking through this text, again, we're going to look at what Paul was experiencing. And so in this second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul speaks of their sufferings and as a counterpart of the sufferings of Christ. Some of those trials he refers to back in chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And he says, "When we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears." And so on the outside, they were doing one thing, but on the inside, they were fearful. And so this is proof that God works through weak people like Paul. Not saying that the Apostle Paul was a weak person. Clearly, he was strong both in his mind and in his body. But it means that even the strongest person is really very weak. Even the healthiest person can die suddenly. We all have constant struggles. And so Paul's suffering showed his weakness, but at the same time, it showed God's strength. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, Paul says, "In my weakness, God's strength is perfected." And so it is the same with us, so that ultimately people will see the power of his resurrection and his grace while we are going through suffering. And so the first thing I want to point out in this is, and if you're a note taker, you can write this down. So point number one is, pressure will not defeat us. Pressure will not defeat us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, verse 8. The word pressed was sometimes used for when you're walking through a crowd and there's people surrounding you, literally pressing up against you, as was the case in Mark chapter 5 with the woman with the issue of blood. We also think of grapes being pressed in a wine press, being the pressure of that in order to get wine out of grapes. And so the pressures of life may squeeze us, but we are not ultimately crushed. We are not. Those grapes are crushed. But even in that grape crushing process, you get wine. And so there is an outcome to these pressures. There is a goal that God has, even when we are pressed. However, we are not crushed. And so the pressures of life may squeeze us, but we are ultimately not crushed. And so here's that same verse, verse 8 in other translations. One says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. And that's the New Living Translation. The Contemporary Translation says, we catch it from every direction, but we don't let them squeeze the life out of us. And that's the Contemporary Translation. And the New English Translation says, hard pressed on every side, but we are never hemmed in. And I love that translation because those of us who use that vernacular, you know, try to hem me up, try to hem me up. We all know what a hem is. It's when you're pulled and when you're tacked in and tied in. That is not the case with us. We can feel pressed, but we will not be crushed. Okay, so that was number one. Pressure will not defeat us. Number two, confusion will not discourage us. And this is the second part of that verse 8. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And sometimes life has a way of throwing us a curveball and then some. Perplexed just means we're completely baffled. Despair means completely lost or the absence of hope. And so you can be perplexed, but you are not in despair. Perplexed, again, you're just baffled. Despair means a sense of hopelessness. That's another place to be in. We can be perplexed, but despair, that's another place. And so sometimes we face circumstances that are so confusing to us that honestly, we don't know what to do. And Paul himself said in Romans 8:26 that sometimes we don't know how to pray. There are moments when we are so perplexed, or we are so tired, so worn out, that life has become so confusing, we honestly don't even know what to say to the Lord. And some crazy things that people do to us, or some crazy things that God allows to happen to us, sometimes we're just puzzled by life. We're just perplexed. And it's okay to not know why. We don't always have to know why. Again, Apostle Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. There are some things that we just won't know until we get to heaven. And the good thing about that is by the time we get to heaven, it won't even matter. And that's why that old song says, we'll understand it better by and by. You know what? When we get to heaven, it won't even matter. I love that about God. He doesn't even have to make sense all the time. He just gives you the peace to hold on, even when you don't know why. All right, so that's number two. Confusion will not discourage us. And the third one, persecution will not deter us. Persecution will not deter us. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. This is verse 9. Persecuted, but not abandoned. The Greek word translated persecuted means to pursue, as a hunter pursues his game. And so also persecuted means to be subjected to hostility or ill treatment. Paul knew about this form of personal experience. Everywhere he went, the Jews were his opposition. They followed him. They pursued him. They persecuted him. They stayed on his trail, attacked his character. They mocked his message. They stirred up opposition inside and outside of the church. And the New Living Translation writes it as, we are hunted down. And I don't know if any of you are hunters. I've never hunted an animal before. But for anyone who is an avid hunter, they know there's a strategy to hunting prey. And so that's what the enemy does. He has a strategy for hunting us down. And that's what Paul felt like. He felt like an animal fleeing the hounds that were hot on his trail. And so you think of in 1 Kings where Jezebel was pursuing Elijah for killing her quote-unquote prophets. It's a persecution and it's a pursuit. And sometimes that pursuit is continual. And so we're going to face that sometimes, but we have to take heart that we are not abandoned. God has not left us, even in our persecution. Sometimes God uses those persecutions to elevate us. I heard a preacher say one time that your haters are your elevators. And so what does an elevator do? It takes you to the next level. And so I looked at that as, okay. And I know some people will say new level, whatever. God will use those situations to elevate you, whatever that next level is for you and your life. Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, God used his brothers to elevate him. He used Joseph's persecution to get him to that next level. Your persecutors are tools in the hands of God. Remember that. God's method of the way that he does things won't make sense to us. But in the end, the persecutors are tools in the hands of God to get us to our next level. Okay, so that was number three. Persecution will not deter us. And the last point, number four, hard hits will not destroy us. Hard hits will not destroy us. Verse 9, the second part of that verse 9, it says, we are struck down, but not destroyed. It's a big mistake to think that things won't happen to us as Christians. You know, what happens to others happens to us too. The rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. The sun rises on everybody, and there's a time where it's going to set on everyone. We get sick. Our children get sick. We get laid off. The recession takes away our savings. Sometimes the chemo works. Sometimes it doesn't. Some end up in divorce court. Some of us don't. And so things can happen regardless of our position of who we are in Christ. Proverbs 24 and 16 says, the righteous man falls down seven times but rises up again. Are we going to give in to that pressure? No. Rise up, because the Lord has promised that we will not be destroyed. He will not forsake us. Are we going to ever be under pressure? Yes, absolutely we are. Jesus promised it. It was a promise that we would go through things, but he reminded us that he had overcome the world. Are we going to experience confusion sometimes? Yes, absolutely. Are we going to face persecution? Yep, guaranteed. Sometimes we are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And so in verse 10, Paul says, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. All of these things that we go through have a purpose, and that is that God may be glorified. All of this is to mature us in our faith, and we have to learn to put a comma after that negative and add a conjunction. It is not finished. And the other side of that I want to encourage you with is, this isn't a buffet. We don't get to choose our troubles. It's not as if we can say, I'll take some light tribulation, but let's hold off on the persecution if you don't mind. And I'll skip that part about being knocked down. No, life isn't a buffet. We don't get to say we can't pick our poison. God is sovereign, and what he has planned for us is already planned out. We take what God sends us. However, in that, he is with us. He gives us the grace to stand. And so by God's grace, we may be knocked down, but we are not knocked out. God reminds us, though many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We have to trust in God, trust the process, and continue to hold on to his hand. I hope this message encouraged you. I pray that it blesses you, seals in your heart, and that you will walk out and believe this word that we say we believe. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you, First Baptist. Have a wonderful evening.
The lines will now be unmuted for approximately 20 seconds for acknowledgement of our speaker.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you
for the message.
Thank you. Yes. Four powerful points.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
We will now have remarks and prayers by Reverend Tucker.
Surely we thank God for this wonderful and marvelous inspirational message this evening given to us by Sister Denise Hunter. We praise God for her and for her family, and we are extremely blessed knowing that we will have suffering experiences, knowing that we will be pressed down, know that we will be confused sometimes and persecuted, knocked down but not knocked out. And surely we thank God for that wonderful inspiration. God is good, and we praise him for all that he has done and continue to do in our lives. Let me thank each one of the participants who shared in the service tonight. We praise God for you and all of you who attended this prayer experience. God is continually blessing us over and over again, and it's good for us to come together each week that we might be able to blend our hearts and our minds and our spirits together to foster his glory and to be blessed and inspired through prayer, song, and his word. Let me encourage you to remember to come to our worship experience again on Sunday. It's our youth emphasis services. Our youth will be leading and participating in the service, and we invite you to come and share in that service together with us. We also want to encourage you to participate on Saturday the 14th, the Virtual Health Ministry and the Choose Health and Life program will be sponsoring, along with the First Baptist Church family, a back-to-school day and backpack giveaway from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. We encourage you to bring your youth, your children, as we make ready to get back to our school. We do want you to be careful as you go out, as you make your determination to take advantage of these summer vacation time, and know that we need to protect ourselves and play it safe, wear our mask, make sure you get your vaccination, and be a part of those experiences as well. Please know also that there will be vaccinations available to us on August 14th, along with job information and health information. We encourage you to participate in that experience. And then we want you to continue to pray for our sick and shut in. Prayers go out to Sister Catherine Powell Blunt. Her daughter, Lisa Taylor, is in the Southern Maryland Hospital and is very ill. Let us pray for them both. And please pray for Digna Sharon Spann. Her father is in Ohio, is in need of prayer for healing. Her father's brother, Vaughn Smith, is in the hospital with COVID-19. Her aunt, Mickey Parrish, is in Doctor's Hospital in Landover, Maryland, and is very ill. So pray for Sharon and the other members of the family and each one of those persons whose names have been lifted up. We know that that God is still in the healing business, and let us pray for them. Pray for our bereaved Sister Marie Vance. Let us send out our sympathy for her in the transitioning of her 100-year-old aunt, Sister Bernice Johnson, who is in Lawrence, South Carolina. Arrangements are still pending, And let us continue in prayer for all of the bereaved and all persons that stand in need. We're going to ask now for a special prayer request. We're going to ask that the lines would be unmuted for 20 seconds to give you an opportunity to call out the names of persons you want special prayer for, as well as situations. 20 minutes, the lines are open.
Pray for the sick and the struggling and those that are under the weak. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing and everyone of us all. Thank you. Thank you.
God, our Father, we come before you just now asking thy blessings upon all of those persons who are under the sound of my voice. We pray, O God, that you would bless them one by one. And then, O God, we ask that you would hear their cries. They have lifted up the names of individuals who stand in the need of prayer. And we ask, O God, right now that you would attend to them. We know you know all about them. We know, God, that you know every hair on their heads. And so, God, we just want to point them in your direction. And because we know that you are able to heal, we ask, oh, God, your healing grace and healing blessings. Thank you, God, for all that you have done and are doing and will do for them. We know that thou art a good and blessed God. Now, God, we ask thy forgiveness. If you would forgive us for all of our shortfalls, all of our sins, all of those things that we've left undone and those things that we've done that we should not have done, we ask, O God, that you would forgive us and give us another chance to run on a little while longer. We ask, O God, for help, that you would help each one of us in the challenges that we have in our life. You know, every day, O God, we run into some kind of situation that we need a blessing. We need your grace and we need your mercy. And so, God, we come right now seeking it and asking that you would bless as only you can do. We pray, O God, your blessings upon this nation. Oh, God, we stand in so much difficulty and trial and confusion and discord. And, God, we need to be guided and directed. And so, God, we ask that you would bless the leaders of this nation, oh, God, that you would speak through and to them and enable them to have the right frame of mind that they might be able to make the correct decisions and lead the nation in a direction that would be pleasing in your sight. And then, God, we ask thy blessings upon our church family. Oh, God, have mercy upon First Baptist Church and all of those individuals who are associated therewith, oh, God. Help us, oh, God, to be the people that you want us to be, that we would be witnesses day by day, that we would live the lives that we ought to live and the example before people in this nation, that folks would come to know you through our lives and through what we do and how we live and through our relationship with you. And that means, God, we need you to help us, bless us. And, oh, God, we ask thy blessings upon the souls of mankind. Oh, God, have mercy upon each one of them one by one. Keep and strengthen as only you can do. Help us to draw real close to you that we might be able to feel and sense your power and your grace. Help us, oh, God, to grow more and more like you and be what you want us to be. Keep us, sustain us. And, oh, God, enter into our hearts and our minds and enable us to know that you are near and to know that you can provide for us whatever we need. Comfort, bless, and sustain. And give us the strength that when we are knocked down, we'll be able to get up. And when we are persecuted, oh God, we would know that we are not defeated. Enable us, oh God, that even when we are in confusion, we would know that we're not too perplexed, that we are not able to continue to do your bidding. Thank you, God. Keep us and strengthen us as only you can do. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and grant unto you his peace. Amen, amen, and amen.